Go ahead and get into our message. I was talking with John before service. Man, I got a lot to talk about today. And so we may or may not get to all of it. I got 11 points, y'all. 11 points, right? And then I got a bunch of scripture. So we may, and there's some talking. You guys know I talk in between points in scripture, so there's that. But we're going to get into it. And before we do, let's pray, though, bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Father God. We thank you for today, for your love, grace, and mercy, for the ability to come with our brothers and sisters in you and enjoy and worship and talk and laugh and care for one another, Father God. Pick each other up when we're down. Rejoice when things are going well, Father God. And I ask that you would help us do that and be that to the people that you've placed around us today. And God, I ask that you would allow us as the individual to allow people into our lives, Father God. I know there's been issues in the past and things that we've all battled with, and sometimes we put up walls, but I ask that you would bring those walls down, Father God, and let us see the brothers and sisters that you've put into our lives and the way that we love and care for each other and the way that we should, and help us be that in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. All right, so the covenants that we're talking about, we're in the fourth week, or the fourth covenant. We're in the fifth week. The first week I explained what they are, what covenant is, and again, the title or whatever that I wanted to put on it was a covenant is the power of God's unbreakable love. How many of you know his love cannot be broken? Right? And it's there regardless. And some of the songs that we sing and in the words that we read through the scripture, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And he shows it with his covenants. Do you know why we had to have another covenant and then another covenant and then another covenant? Because we kept breaking the covenants. Not because God did, because we did, right? Mankind did. And so we get into the first ones and we go through it again. Covenant is a written agreement or promise usually under seal between two or more parties, especially for the performance of an action, or it's usually a formal, solemn, and binding agreement. How many of you know covenants are binding, right? And again, from God's side, they never change. God never changes his mind. He doesn't change his word. If he said it, what's the scripture say? He's going to do it. One of the scriptures that I read last week, and I wanted to read it again to you this week, is 2 Peter. It's not on the screen because I just put it in a minute ago. 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. It says, but do not overlook this one fact. How many of you know we get so busy in life, we overlook some things, right? We get so busy in life that we take our focus. And I think that's one of the things of the enemy. And I told you guys this in the last series that we had. If the enemy can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. He'll make you so busy doing good things that you don't do God things, right? And we waste what God has given us and the opportunities given us because we're doing good things. Good things aren't bad things. They're good things. But they all need to be put in the right priority, amen? In the right place. It says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Then it says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness. How many of you know we want everything and we want it now? Burger King, your way right away, right? It's never my way and it's not right away, right? That's just how it works out. I don't understand that. It's a promise that gets broken, right? J.G. Wentworth, it's my money and I want it now. Like we want everything right this minute, right? And God gives us promises and tells us things. And if you look in his scripture, he gives promises and makes covenants, and they don't happen for a really long time. And people get upset and frustrated. Joseph's dream that he had, he was 17. They believe he was 40 when he was put in the position to take care of his family. How many years is that? A lot of years. Mathematicians, go to town on it. Right? That's a lot of years. David was anointed king at Jesse's house. But then how long was it before he was actually king? A while. We see promises that are made to Abram at the time, that he never even sees. Do you know there's some promises and blessings that God has for your life that are not going to be seen until a couple of generations after we're gone? And so for us to say God didn't ever answer, he said he was going to do it and he didn't do it, he's going to do it. Whether we understand it or whether we see it, whether I live to see it, doesn't mean he's not doing it. Because if he said it, He's going to do it, right? So when we get into this, I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to do this. And at this time, it's not the start of the covenant. It is a promise made to him. The covenant doesn't come for a couple more chapters, and we're going to get to there in a minute. But this is what God did. He said to Abram in chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house to a land that I will show you." All right, we're going to stop right there for a second. For us, it's not a big deal for us to leave our parents' home and take off. Max, when we hit 18, a lot of times it's expected. You're 18, get out, right? That's how, back in those days, it didn't happen that way. They stayed in their father's house. They stayed there doing what their father did. They kept going with what the father had. For the firstborn son, everything that he had was passed to him. Right? Was given to him. And so when he says to Abram, leave your parents, what he's telling him essentially is what Jesus told the disciples. He said, come and follow me. And they left everything. One of the things that we miss in Christianity when we talk about what it means to be a Christ follower is that we still want to hold on to everything that the world has given us, but we want to follow him. It doesn't work that way. That, or I heard, some, and I don't remember who said this. I don't remember if it was, somebody said this the other day. They said, we don't want to follow Jesus. We want Jesus to follow us. Think about it. It wasn't you? No, but that's what we do. That's what we do. Jesus, this is my life. Come hang out with me and live in my heart and do my life with me. That's not how it works. Right? He's our Lord and Savior. And I believe, and I'm just going to be real, I believe, this is Toby speaking, that is why in Revelations it says, they say, Lord, Lord, look at all this stuff we did for you. And he says, depart from me because I never knew you. Right? It's going to come. There's going to be some people that are going to be, I'm secure, I'm safe, Jesus is a part of my life because I'm carrying him in my heart everywhere I go. That's not what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be following him where we go. And leaving everything behind. This is one of the first things that we see Abram when God says, hey, I want you to denounce everything and be obedient to me. And when you do this, when you do it, this is what I'm going to do. You guys ready? It says, to a land I will show you. He doesn't even tell him. Okay, this is another thing. He doesn't even tell him where he's going to go. He just says, go. How many of you like that? We got some friends in Louisiana. They'll jump in their Jeep. Ronnie and Michelle, they'll jump in their Jeep and then wherever the Jeep goes, that's where they go. They'll go for a day or two. Most people, like Dwayne's like that on a motorcycle, like, I'm just going to leave, and when I get there, I'm there, right? This is what God told him to do. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes God is telling you to move before he tells you where to go. And he's not going to tell you where to go until you've moved. But the problem is we get so comfortable, we're not going to move until we know where we're going. Do you know what happens at that point? God doesn't tell us where we're going. We don't ever get there. Just a thought. Maybe some of us, instead of sitting back and saying, hold on, I'm waiting, maybe some of us need to just say, God, I'm going to take a step in a direction, and if I'm going the wrong direction, correct me. Because how many of you know God will correct you? There's correction that comes. We don't like the correction, but it's there, right? And some of us need to just get off of our backsides and start moving in something, in a ministry, in a way, in something God's laid on your heart, in a dream that he's given you. Do you know what? If he's given you a dream and you're not any closer than you were when he gave it to you, it's probably not because of him. He tells Abram, he says, listen, go from this country, man, from your father's house, from everything you know, from all the comfort that you have, all of the things that you have. And now, don't get me wrong. There's a type of a doctrine or a theology out there that says that Christians are supposed to suffer just because the apostles did. But do you know what? God's word doesn't bear that out. He says there's going to be good times and bad times. Paul even said there's good times and bad times. Right? He said, and I know, I've learned to be content in all of it. That's the secret of what we need to do. Look at it and say, hey, I'm content. But he says, Abram, leave, go. When you get there, I'm going to tell you you're there. Like, Okay. So what did he do? He left. Then he says this, I will make, there's seven things he tells them that's going to happen. The first thing is this, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. Now, I'm going to get into some of this other stuff when we get a little bit further down, but at this point, Abram has no kids, no children, not a son, no kids, right? And if you understand the culture, not having a son was a disgrace. The other side of that coin was his name. Do you know what Abram means? Father of many. So, like they were named after certain things. So Abram means father of many. So when Abram met someone and they came up to him and they said, hey, how are you doing? What is your name? He's like, my name's Abram. Like, oh, you're a father of many. How many children do you have? I got none. Do you know how funny that was to people? Like, they probably didn't laugh in front of him because he had some authority and some power where he was at. But do you know as soon as they walked out the door, like, he got no kids. He's the father of a bunch and he got none, right? Think that thought. That's how the world works. Y'all know it. So he's the father of many, but he has none. And God makes him a promise and says, hey, I'm going to make you a great nation. Not just the top, but I'm going to make you a great nation. Do you know this is one of the promises that Abram never gets to see fulfilled? Do you know why? Because they weren't a great nation. Israel was not a great nation until they left Egypt after 400 years. Do you know that when they went there with Joseph, there were 70 people, is what the scholars say. 70 people came to get provision when Joseph had his family come during the famine. Do you know, there's some debate on whether, I mean, everything in the Bible is something I'll debate about. There's some debate as to whether when they left there was 30,000 or 2 million. Most people lean towards there were 2 million people, Israelites, that left. Do you know they were not a nation until they left Egypt? Do you know he never saw it? He never saw it. And God, in a minute, we're going to read it. He tells them about it. But then he says this to Abram. He says, I will bless you. Go, I'll bless you. Do you know that he and his nephew Lot that he took with him had so many cattle, so many things and mouths to feed that they could not stay together because the land could not sustain them? This was after they left their father and mother's house. How many of you know that's a blessing? Right? God continually blessed him over and over. And even though he did dumb stuff, he goes somewhere and he tells the guy, he's like, yeah, that's my sister, not my wife, because he didn't want him to kill him and do stuff. And he's like, look, fine. All kind of crazy stuff. How many know we all do stupid things? Thank you, God, that you forgive us. Thank you, God, for Jesus, right? But he says this, he says, I will bless you. If you look at Abram's life, even up to that point, until he's Abraham, he is blessed. Not just with the relationship that he has with God. How many know that's the best blessing you're going to get? And if he never gives us anything else, that's more than enough. Jesus, his son, right? But according to Scripture, that's not the only blessing that he gives us. It's not the only blessing. But, let me say this. In order to receive the other blessings, you first have to have the first blessing, his son. Anyway, that's a chew on that one, and then look it up. Then he says this, I will make your name great. How many people on the earth today know who Abraham is? Does anybody know Abraham's neighbor? We know a couple of his sons. Like one of his sons, or like we know some stuff. But how many people in the world know who, if you say Abraham, the first person they're going to think about is the one of the Bible? His name is made great. We sing songs, Father Abraham, and son. I'm going to quit singing, right? We sing all these things. Maybe instead of Jesus love you, I'm going to start Father Abraham in a minute, like when it gets awkward. Anyway. Okay, probably not. I'll stop, babe, sorry. I'm glad to have her in here this morning. Y'all give my wife a hand. I love you, baby. She's usually in kids' church. I wouldn't be who I am without her. Do you know, men, that's a blessing that God gives to you? You need to take care of it as such. Just saying. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying. You need to take care of it as such. Oh, because sometimes I mess up at it. Don't amen at that one, babe. Not on that one. She's like, yeah, you're right. We seen you yesterday. You was being dumb. No, don't. Anyway, I'll make your name great. Then he says this, not only will I bless you, you will be a blessing. So understand this, and we've said this before, and it's kind of a Christianese cliche, but God doesn't want to give to you. He wants to give through you. The reason why he puts everything in your hands is so that you have what you need to do what he's called you to do. But do you know what? He takes care of you in the process. He takes care of you in the process. He says, this is what I want you to do with it. And then, I wish you didn't do this part of it, y'all. Did y'all ever look at something and be like, man, I wish you did something different. Like, I wish he told me how I was supposed to do everything with everything so I could just do it. Like, here's your list. Do this, Toby, and you're good. Here's what I want you to do with your finances. Here you go. Like, that would be so easy, but he doesn't. He gives us free will. We get to choose. Why is that? Because he gets to see where our heart is with what we have. Now, again, like Aaron said earlier, I'm not trying to say this, like, give all your money to the church. That's not what I'm saying. But what are you doing with what he's laid in your hands? Is it to take care of you, or is it to make his name great? Because that's what we're called to do, make his name great. This is what ends up happening. Because Abraham was blessed, he was a blessing, and because of that, guess what? He blessed other people. It's supposed to be an abundance, an overflow out of our lives, is what we're called to be. Is what we're called to do. So think that thought. With what God has given me, just the last 7 days, just take the last 2 days, because that way you don't have to, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. I really don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. It's not just this thing. I do. I ate with Mr. Jeff. I remember breakfast now. It was pancakes, sunrise. It was great. Anyway, so, thank you. See, I remember. One of the things is that he gives things to us so that we can give to other people. Think about the last 2 days of your life. What have you done to make God's name great? In the last 2 days, what have you done to make God's name great? Sometimes it's hard. Why? Because we get busy doing good things. Everything I did yesterday was good stuff. But what did I do to make his name great among men? What did I do to use what the resources and the finances and the things that he's given to me personally to further his kingdom, his agenda, instead of my own? This is one of the things that we see God tells him. Not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to bless you so you can bless other people. Everybody's going to be blessed because of you. That's the last one. Let me say, back up. Then he says this, I will bless those that bless you. So the people that help you and take care of you and support you, I'm going to bless them. And the people that do the opposite, that's number five, right? You'll be blessed. Number five in the thing is, I'll bless those who bless you. And I'll turn around and not only do that, but the people that are against you, that curse you, I will curse them. How many of you know you don't want to be cursed by God? I have this meme, and I sent it to a bunch of people, man. Some people I sent to, some people I didn't, because I sent a lot of stuff, and people get tired of it. So anyway, it says this. It says, I meet them. They say, only God can judge me. And it says, me, that should make you afraid. Like, you should be scared of that. Anyway, because if God is not happy with you, there's a lot of other people I want unhappy with me. I do not ever want God unhappy with me, right? The good thing is that he gives me grace. Last week, we talked about the Noahic covenant, and the whole purpose was restraint. God showed restraint. He said, I will never do this again. By way of flood. I'll never curse the ground again because of man. He showed that. And he said, listen, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you what I want to give you. What I want to give you. Right? He says, I will curse those that curse. And then this is what ends up happening. Again, remember, all throughout the scripture, there are little blips that show you what God is going to do. Remember the movie I talked about where they're like all through the movie you're watching, and then there's this big twist and turn at the end, and then this guy at the end of it's looking back and he's like, oh, yeah, that, oh, and then that, and then that. It showed me this whole time what was going on. But now I just now see all the pieces. How many of that works in God's life, like in our lives with God? Like we look back, we're like, oh, yeah, okay, I see what you did then. But in the middle of it, we don't have those. All throughout God's word, if you look for them, you see signs of what God is going to do through Jesus. You see it all over. This is one of the places. He says, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. Again, he doesn't just say Israel. He says, everybody. Why is everybody going to be blessed through him? Because it's going to be his line, family line, that Jesus will come from, where the Messiah will come, where we will all have salvation or the ability to have it. Amen? So, one of those things, this is the seven things he tells them. He says, I'll make you a great nation. He never saw it. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You know, he didn't. He saw what he saw about his name being great then, but I guarantee you he had no thought process that thousands of years later, people were still going to be talking about him and what he did. Never mind. I was going to say something I'm not going to do. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. And then what ends up happening is we have a period of time. So according to all of this, Abram is about 75 years old, is what they say at this point. Okay? So 75 years old. I ain't got no kids, but I'm going to have kids. Y'all know how it is for 75-year-olds today to have kids. A bit different, probably difficult, probably not going to happen. Really? You see what I'm saying? We see these things, and one of the reasons why, and in our lives too, I believe that God waited as long as he waited in order to do it, is because he did it when there was no other way to explain what happened. Like, I can't say, well, medical procedures did it, and that's what gave me my child. Right. Do you know there's a lot of people that do that? And I'm not dogging on the people that do that, because some people can't have kids and they do different things. And so they have medical stuff that helps with that now. They didn't have that back then, right? When that time was over, time was over. And Abram, the father of many with no kids, is a laughingstock. And God promises him that he is going to be a father of many nations. And then we come to this part. You ready? Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 6, says, after these things, a word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, here, he said, God, I know what you said, but, how many of you, we do that? But I don't see it. But this, but you don't understand. God can do this, but you don't understand. Let's leave those out. But this is what he says. He says, but Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring. A member of my household will be my heir. And the word of the Lord, and behold, a word from the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, look towards the heavens and number the stars, if you were able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So look at the stars in the sky. Do you realize that we are still seeing new stars today? They're still coming. We still see them over and over. Like, they're still being created according to science, right? Do you know what happened? Like, okay, different topic. Do you know what happened? God said, let there be light, and it started going from here, and it just keep going. That's what's happening. It's not stopping. It's still going from when he said it at the beginning. Anyway, that's my thought. Science bears it out, because we keep finding more and more things, more and more things, more and more things. Anyway, then it says this, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Now, Paul talks about this again in Romans and says, hey, by faith, because of Abraham's faith, it was counted to him as righteousness. So think this thought. Where is your faith in the situations? If God says it, do you believe it? Do you take action? Do you take action to step towards it? Be careful. Don't take your own steps. Wait till he tells you, but move. So I just contradicted myself a little bit because I'm like, don't sit there and wait, start moving, but move, but don't move till he tells you. There's those are two different options. It's yes and yes, right? If God tells you to do something, if he's put something on your heart, do it. If you don't know what it is, start moving in a direction and he'll tell you to stop. But so there was a friend of mine, I knew him from church, and he went and preached a healing service at a church, man. And he went in, I ain't gonna say his name, but he was a funny dude. But telling the story of what he would tell, it's not funny, but it's funny. Anyway, he walked in and he was so excited and so happy. He just walked into the first guy that was in a wheelchair and said, "Brother, get up and walk." And stuck him up and turned around and walked away as that dude fell flat on the ground. Right? And he went and picked him back up. He's like, "It's not your time yet, brother." And then he turned around and went on to do what he was doing, right? It takes faith to step out and say some things, but don't step out and say things if God didn't tell you to. Do you know what? Oh, if you look at Smith Wigglesworth, some of the stuff he did, do you know he drop kicked the baby across the room? It hit the wall. When it landed on the ground, its spine was straightened and everything was fine with it. What would give you the thought process to even drop kick a baby? Like, God said, kick a baby. Like, God, I don't think that's you, right? Look, read. Look at some of the stuff that he did, some of the amazing miracles that happened and now that it happened. Look at Jesus. He took mud, spit in mud. Like, now, wash it off and you can see. Like, why would he do that? Why didn't he just say, "Here, do that"? Maybe there was some faith, some action that had to take place for it to happen. Nahum dipped himself 7 times in a river. It wasn't until the 7th time he was healed, right? Now I'm saying, don't step out in faith if he didn't tell you to do it. But faith can be counted as righteousness, according to what the scripture says here. That's how we receive everything we receive from God. How? By faith. Not by doing, by having faith. But I will say this. Because of our faith, you will start moving if you believe. And there will be action that will come and take place. When I give my life to Christ, if there's no change, have I given my life to Christ? Because that's what he does. He changes you. He changes you. Anyway, number 8, his faith was counted as righteousness. And then we come to verse 7 in this little section, 15, verse 7. It says, "And he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, the Chaldees, to give you this land to possess.' But he said, 'Oh God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?' And he said, 'Bring me the heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' And he brought all of these, he cut them in half, and he laid each half over against the other. And he said, but he did not cut the birds in half." So what we see here is where the covenant begins. Remember I told you at the beginning, the covenants that come with God, they're blood covenants. There's a thing called a blood covenant. Remember in that Garden of Eden, right? When he put them out, how did he cover their sins? With a sacrifice. He said, "Well, it doesn't say that." Well, he gave them animal skins to cover. I'm sure the animal wasn't still in them, right? That was the first death, physical death that we see in the scripture because of sin, right? That's not the murder. The first murder we see is Cain and Abel, but the first physical death we see is an animal that died to cover their sins. And one of the things that I didn't talk about then, and I think it was Dr. Steve, I can't remember who it was. I have a lot of conversations, y'all. But one of the things that we talked about was the fact that the skins, that blood could only cover. It couldn't wash it away. Right? That's why Jesus had to be the sacrifice once and for all to cover all the sins. Why? How do we know that? Because every year they had to go back and do another sacrifice to cover their sins. They had to continually come over and over and over and confess their sins and bring a sacrifice forth. Right here we see a blood covenant. That again, what would happen at the time is they would cut the animal down the middle, they would lay the two halves on the ground, and both parties would pass through. And the thought process and the thing behind it is, if I break this covenant, may what has happened to these animals be the same thing that happens to me. That's the blood covenant. So they would split the animals, they would lay them down, and they would walk through them. Now, verse 9, so here we see the blood covenant with them. This is where the covenant is cut. Now we're going to get some things that go on behind that. And one of the things that I want you to see on this one As a lot of people say that his covenant was a bilateral covenant because there were things he had to do. But if you remember what I said earlier, it wasn't the covenant. It wasn't bilateral. The you go do all these things and I'm the promise that came wasn't part of the covenant. Now, the things that came out of the covenant were everything that he promised. But right here is where we see the covenant come into place. Chapter 15, 11 through 20. He says, and when the birds of prey came down on the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Now, this is one of those things that unless you look at it and you understand what you're seeing, you don't see it, right? And the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs. Egypt. This is God saying, this is what's going to happen in the future. Egypt. Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. What were the Israelites? The Egyptian slaves. They will be afflicted for 400 years. How long were the Israelites in Egypt? So this is God saying, this is what's going to happen long before it even happened. See how the Bible, everything fits together in pieces. And when you understand that it's not just a story and then another story and then another story, that everything actually all runs together, you can understand what the Bible is saying and what God's trying to show you. Not all of it. Why? Because we got to keep studying. We're never get there. Even when we stand in front of them, we're still going to have questions. Like, I got a lot of questions, but I'm not going to bring out what the questions are right now. Then it says this, but I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve. Red Sea, parting, collapsing. And afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions. How many of you know they got to take stuff with them when they left? As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Then we see this in chapter verse 17. It says, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. At this point, we see God make the covenant. God passed through the pieces, not Abraham. That's what that means. At dark, we see God say, this is the covenant I'm making, and this is me walking it out. Abram's asleep. He's not a part of it. But God is doing this here. You guys see that? And then it says this, verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. That's why I said before it was a promise, and to this day is the covenant. With Abram saying, to your offspring, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, and from the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kedemonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So, this is what we see. Have you guys ever wondered when Moses is going and they're like, we're going to the promised land. Like, where's the promise? Right there. That's what the promised land is. What God told Abram, and made. And he makes the covenant and he says, you're going to go here. You're going to go to Egypt. You're going to serve for 400 years. You're going to be slaves. You're going to leave out. Those people are going to be devastated. You're going to go with many possessions and you're going to go to this place. This is the place that I'm taking you to. How many of you know? Abram didn't see all of that stuff happen. Doesn't mean God didn't promise it. Doesn't mean that it didn't do it. He didn't fulfill it. He did. And he told him how he was going to. Then you get into chapter 17. Most of the covenants that we have, they all had a sign that came with them, right? The first sign, the Edenic covenant didn't have a sign. The Adamic covenant had God cover them with skins. That was the sign, covered their sins, right? The one we talked about last week in Noah, what was the sign from last week? The rainbow in the sky, that was the sign. Now, the sign of this one is a physical one that happens to men. It's called circumcision, right? That was the sign of the covenant. And we read in Genesis chapter 17, 1 through 14. Let me see if we'll get through all of this. Will we get through? We probably will. Yes, we will. Again, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. How many of you know if God has asked him to walk before him and be blameless, how many of you know we should strive to walk before him and be blameless? We should strive to get everything out of our lives that don't belong to him. We should continually look to see what is in my life, what do I need to get rid of? Amen? Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between you and me and may multiply you greatly. And then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of the multitude of nations. You shall no longer, shall your name be called Abram, the father of many. You will be called Abraham, the father of multitudes. See how his name changed? See, we see certain things. We see Saul's name changed to Paul. Like Simon, they call Peter. Simon, the one they call Peter, right? There's a name change that happened right here. And so the guy that I'm studying and I'm reading after and researching, one of them, I have a couple of them, but he's real big into the, like, he can read the Greek and the Hebrew, and he can just read it out, and like it's another language for him, and I'm not that guy. Dr. Steve probably be more apt to be able to do that kind of stuff than me, but one of the things that he says is there's two in the writing that there's two symbols that they put on top of the letters. One curves this way and one curves that way. And the one that curves that way, the one that curves like with the letter, like this way, means it's like our short and long vowel. You guys know how I was saying how they got the short and then they got the long vowel? Kind of like that, but different. Okay? It's pronounced the way that it is. If it's pronounced with the backwards, they put the exhaled breath on it. So Abram, now it would be Abraham, right? In the way that they speak, right? It would be, have you ever heard someone speak like the language from over there, like Hebrew or read it? There's a lot of that comes out of it, right? That's where that comes from. Like, they do it better than me. That was a very poor attempt, okay? I'm not good at it, but that's what that is. And so his name is the same, but with that put in it, which ends up making it completely different. Which means now he's not the father of many. How many kids do you have?
None.
He's the father of multitudes. How many kids do you have?
None.
Right now. But that doesn't mean it's not coming. That doesn't mean that it's not coming. I have made you a father of multitudes. Check this out. Not just multitudes of children, multitudes of nations. Nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And when I establish my covenant between me and you, your offspring afterwards, throughout their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your offspring after you. And I will give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojourning, all of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Then it says this in verse 9. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring, after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days among you, old among you, shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought by with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So my covenant shall be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. This is what God says. This is the covenant that I'm making, and this is the sign to know that you are walking in the covenant. This is what he says then. Now, there is so much more into circumcision and what it's about and why it's important and what happened. But just think about this, and I said this to you guys the other day. If you look at the Levitical laws and most of the things that God has set forth, they're in it. It's a part of it. Why? Because it's a benefit to us, not a benefit to him. They circumcise children today because of the health benefit that's there, right? It's one of those things that happens. But do you know what? This is the covenant that God has given to him. He said, this is what will happen. Now, understanding that this whole covenant has not already all come out yet, right? Because right now, do the Israelites own all that land forevermore? Not right now. There's a big fight, a big battle, a big war. Do you know that the reason why there's a big fight and a big battle and a big war is because Abraham's an idiot? You say, what? Well, Ishmael. Again, a lot of times I think God doesn't tell us the issues and where we're going and what he wants for us to do because we'll mess it up before we get there. What if God wouldn't have told him he was going to be the father of many until he was 100 and said, or until he was 99 and said, when you're 100, you got 1 year now, your wife's going to have a kid. Do you know she was like in almost 90 when she had her child. And when you read in the scripture, it says she was past the way of a woman, which means she had gone through menopause. She couldn't have kids. That's why I said God waited until there was no other explanation than he's the one that did it. In your circumstance, I'm going to say this. We're going to take communion. We're going to remember what Jesus had done with us. We're going to be a little bit late today, y'all. I'm sorry. But we're going to try. We'll try. In your circumstance, in your situation, don't lose focus on what God has given you because you don't see a result. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean God's not moving. Because God does far more than you can ask or think or imagine. Right? How many of you can imagine some pretty weird stuff? God, you do it. Do it like this. This would be awesome. He's like, look, I got better stuff than that, man. But if that's the way you want me to do it, that's why I tell you, don't put God in a box. Just say, God, I want your will in this situation. Don't say, God, do it this way. He's like, but I don't want to do it that way. I got something way better for you. So that takes me back, and then I'm going to do communion. One more story, Christmas time. I'm like 4 years old, and my dad is there, and I come to him on Christmas evening, and I'm like, Dad, I want this, 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 and this for Christmas. Like, I come to him with my list. Y'all know how you get, like, and it rolls to the floor, Dad, I want this, 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 this. And my dad said, Tobe, he said, I already got you everything that I'm going to get you. If you want, I can take it back, and I can get you what you've asked for. What do you want me to do? Do you know, as a four-year-old, you're not supposed to play games with them like that because their brain just melts. Like gray matter's burning. I'm like, do, what door do I pick? I don't know. You know those TV shows? I'm like, I'm so confused. And I told him, and this is how you see kids and their faith, okay, when it comes to God. I said at that moment, Dad, like I don't know why I said this, but I did. I said, Dad, I want what you get me because you always get me the best stuff. So I told him. And the thought process, if we would stop coming to God and saying, God, do this, I want it like this, I want it like this, and just say, God, I want what you have for me, it's always going to be far better than we could have come to him with, right? So in your thought process, in the trials and in the things that you're going, understand that he already paid for it. That he already knows, you can cut on the music back there, Rob, that he already knows what's going to happen. He already knows, not because he lined it out and you're just living the life. He knows the choices you're going to make. I know what the choices my kids are going to make. I can put ice cream or broccoli in front of them. One of them's probably going to eat ice cream almost every time. She might get broccoli, but the other one's going to go broccoli. Like, I don't really care for ice cream. I know, I got a weird kid, but that's just how it works. I know the decisions that they're going to do. It's one of those things, man. That's the way it is with us. We have a free will. He's given us the opportunity to make the decision. And he said it time and time again. One of my favorite places in the scripture, he says, I set before you this day life and death, bless and cursing. Blessings and curse. I want you to choose life, but it's your decision.